Hi everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, Rise of the Micro Brands. Lunch with Norm. All right, we're back, and we are broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And by the way, if you are watching this on a replay, skip ahead. Go to the good stuff. Anyway, if you're not, stay tuned. We're just going to talk about a little bit of housekeeping. If you're on my Facebook profile page, you can always whip over to Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy page, and there's a bunch of other content, highlights, full episodes. So check it out. Also, my son, where are you?
I'm here.
What are you going to tell everybody to do?
All right. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast. So that could be Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, just anywhere. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a rating, hopefully a 5-star one. But yeah, follow us on social media if you haven't already. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. Let me see. I believe there is, we do have a special episode tomorrow because we have, something else planned. So you might want to dive into that a little bit.
So have you finished begging for likes yet?
Yes. If you, if you're watching right now, hit that like button, smash it.
Smash it. Yeah. Very good. All right. Hey, I don't know, but from my end, it looks like there's a lag. I hopefully it's not coming across like that on the live.
Yeah, I'm noticing that a bit too, but
okay. So what can we do? It's live. I'll cry later. All right. So let me just tell you a little bit about tomorrow's show. We've changed it around this week, but we've got a really great episode tomorrow talking about Chinese sourcing culture. And we've got Francois Jaffrey coming up from Novalands, and it's a sourcing company, and he's going to dive deep into this. And it's not only going to be about Chinese sourcing culture, it's also going to be about orders and how to protect your orders over the Chinese New Year. Friday, and we'll talk a bit more about this at the end of the episode, but we've got a special episode to target mental health and suicide prevention. There's a lot of people that I've talked to, as well as I've had my own friend recently commit suicide, and it was pretty much determined it was due to social isolation. So I've got an expert that's going to come on, a good friend of mine for 25 years, and we're going to talk about that subject. So I don't usually ask people to do this, but please, on Friday, if you can promote that podcast, we really want to make sure that people get the information about this and how to prevent it. Okay? So,
link in the bio.
What's that?
I'll put the link in the bio.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So I think that's probably it for the updates, right, Kels?
Yep. Oh, and also there is a seller poll that we have. So we are nominated for best podcast. So if you guys love our podcast, please visit this below, sellerpoll.com, and vote for us, Lunch with Norm, and that would be appreciated. Thank you.
And see, I had him say that because I didn't want to look like I was narcissistic or anything. So anyway, today we have a friend of mine. I've been on his incredible podcast, Endgamers, and he is one of the co-founders of it, Jamie Perros. And he's going to be on, and we're going to be talking about a different subject today. Everybody has to have this as an Amazon seller. If you own a micro brand, if you are selling anything, you have to understand the entrepreneurial mindset. Now, it might be something that you're saying, oh, yeah, you know, I sell things. You got to have this. And Jamie, like, once you hear Jamie talk, he's got this, and I can't wait to dive into this because I'm going to learn a lot. So anyways, why don't we just, forgot. If you have any questions, throw it over in the comment section, but sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. All right, Jamie, where are you? There he is.
Hey, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for having me on, Norm. It's good to be on the other end of the microphone. We're being crazy with interviews. It's good to be at the other end.
It's great. And I've got to say, so I've been on a lot of podcasts before, but the Endgame Network, it's out of Australia, has got to be one of the most, if not the most, engaging group I've ever been. Like, I've said that right after the podcast. Like, I got 100 comments. Like, wow. Like, you just don't get that usually. So
yeah.
Anyways, I started talking with you and I said, look, how did you build that culture? You know, that's just not something that somebody just, you know, you just don't start a podcast and people start commenting. You know, you really do have to build a culture around the brand. And I think you and Michael have done an excellent job with that.
Look, thanks, Norm. I really appreciate the kind words and the sentiments. I guess, you know, for a lot of people around the world, you know, Australia seems very far away, but the digital age, we feel like we're closer than normal to you guys. But what people don't know is there's so many Australian sellers now, not just selling on Amazon Australia, although the marketplace has moved to Australia the last 3 years. Probably 90% of the group actually sell, excuse me, in the US, on the US market and the marketplaces with Amazon around the globe. So I would go out on a limb to say 95% of the people in our group are actually selling in the US. And there's so many people, they're really, really keen to do it. And we sort of saw this gap in the market of people that, because we're pretty new at this game. Well, there's some that have been around for a little while, but majority are pretty new at the game. And so we saw this little hole in the market to bridge the gap between, I guess, some of the influencers around the world. And I've been following you for a little while now, Norm, and a lot of the other people that hang around in your circles, and getting the right information that's needed by everyone to succeed in this game. And bridging that gap between, you know, when you go through that first phase, 6 months to 12 months of selling on, you know, being a seller and getting the information that's really, really required to make it in this game. And so we've just managed over the last 6 months to be that conduit of bringing these people like yourself and all the other influencers in the world into people's living rooms through our shows that we have every fortnight. And it's just been it's been unbelievable. It's been like just a juggernaut of support, the level of content that we're bringing to the audience is always driven by what can people take away right now and implement into their businesses. Because as you know, there's just so much information, there's so many influences, there's so many people you know, doing their thing in this game, and it's just hard to navigate through the noise and who's, what do I do? What do I follow? Who, what's the right procedure? What's the right processes? So I guess Michael and I have managed just to help the audience in a sense to do that. And it's just been unbelievable. The engagement we get is huge. The people are very, it's just an unbelievable community, like you saw when you came on the show. Very highly engaged and very into transforming their lives, I guess, through building Amazon businesses alongside their other things as in their life.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah,
and it doesn't look like we're going to get away from this lag. I have no idea what's happening. I can either just turn off my video, Anyways, this might be annoying. So Kelsey, you just let me know and we'll just turn off the video if that's the case. But I have a lot of US sellers that reach out, want to sell in the Australian market. I know this is a little off topic, but are there any tools? Like, I know Helium 10's trying to get out there, but do you know of any tools that are out in Australia that people can use for research?
At the moment, I don't know any that are doing a lot. I know Zonguru is trying to implement a little bit of the statistics that are in Australia. There is another one which slips my mind, which I actually sent to you, Norm. It's Yeah, but I will find out and get back to you. I might put it in the chat later on. But look, it's still a very new market. We only just got PPC not long ago, so like that's just to show you how new it is. It's not a in Australia, just for people to get who are listening from around the world. We've got some students and we've also got some people in the community that have had some relative success in Australia, but it's a very slow burn at the moment. But like we know, Amazon don't come to play games. Our main marketplace online here, I would say, no doubt, is eBay. And eBay has always been the go-to platform for shopping online here in Australia. And their footprint in the country is pretty big. And I think it's just a slow burn for people to transition. And it's getting there. And certain products do better than others. And to give you an idea of the brands that and the products that we sell in the US, you know, it's 20 or 30 fold results. And then we've got, you know, other people that we know that are doing not too bad, but it's still, you can't even compare to how prominent Amazon is in the US market compared to your sales in Australia. So if you are thinking of selling in Australia, it's very easy to rank. It's very easy to get on the pages that you want to rank for the keywords that you want to. There's if you've got some decent products, an interesting stat that that I've seen is about 85 or 90% of the sellers in Australia are Chinese sellers. That just goes to show how it hasn't been adopted yet by the people who are, you know, the private labelers at this stage. But there's probably not enough data to suggest whether or not to pull the trigger on Australia or not if you're a seller. But I know a lot of people are just expanding their networks and their marketplaces. But yeah, for us, we have tried to sell in Australia. It was about a year ago. We sent some stock over here, but without great success. And as far as, you know, tying up capital, it just didn't make sense for us to do that when our brand and our products that were doing so well in the US.
Okay, so just before we go to the next question, just wanted to give a few shout outs out to Nathan Clark. Hey Nathan, how's it going? Alan, yes. Well, I mean, that's a great idea. We're gonna play around with this a bit longer, and maybe we will disconnect and then come back, or maybe I will just disconnect and come back and let Jamie talk for, you know, a few minutes. Put you on the spot there, Jamie.
No, hey, that's all right.
And also Dan O'Donnell and Julie, how are you? And thank you for joining. Okay, so let's start again. When I started talking with you, what really impressed me about everything you were doing is your mindset and your culture. So let's talk about it. How do you build up? What's the first thing to build an entrepreneurial mindset?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. This is where I live and breathe in this space. Probably because of my background as well. So I'm from the logistics background. I had transport company, a few semi-trailers and employees working for me, et cetera, and a small little business that that we had, my wife, Rebecca, and myself. And, you know, we looked at this diversification of starting to have other sources of income. And so what we did is we saw that model of the Amazon model, and it really appealed to us. But it's the same for everybody that gets into it, I guess. You know, some people are building outside their 9 to 5. Other people are, you know, going in it, you know, hammer and tong to make it their day to day. Everyone's got a different situation. But for me, entrepreneurial mindset is about I call it the transition, because I think 80% of the people that we deal with here, and I'm not sure if it's the same for you, maybe not for you, Norm, because you've got a lot of close friends who are in this game full time, software providers, different friends of yours that have been in this game for a little while. And but for us, the I guess that the negative aspect of our game and our caper is that people trying to sell the laptop lifestyle and right. and not giving the clear picture of this is a real business. It takes real effort, it takes time, it takes a lot of money, and it takes commitment. And you know, we were able to harness people's energy to want to do this, but try and sift out the noise and help them with the actual realistic situation that they find themselves in trying to build a business like this. And without the fluff and the things that go with, you know, gurus and all that sort of stuff, which I won't get into because that's not what this is about. But the thing is, with a lot of people, whether it's couples, mums and dads with kids, and really knowing the balance between success with this business and how much you commit with family time, because we've all got 9-to-5s, we've all got kids, we've all got, you know, we've still got to put the dinner on, we've still got to go to the supermarket, we've still got to take the kids to their sport, we've still got to do all these things that are in life. You've got your 9-to-5, and then all of a sudden you're bringing, you know, you're trying to start this business. And for a lot of people that haven't been down that entrepreneurial path before of working for themselves. And we just try and make clear in our group and with what we teach and what we harness that it does take a lot of effort. And you would know as well that the entrepreneurs who make it in this game have got that obsessiveness and that mental toughness to get through anything. But what we try to do is try and alleviate the carnage that's left behind, because, you know, I can be guilty of that, you know, how obsessed you are with your end goals and what you leave behind. Like, we've got 4 teenage kids, and my wife and I, you know, to get to the success that we got to, that was really tough, Norm. It was really tough to build this business and to do the things that we needed to do and have balance in our life. And having balance but then making it in this game is two different things. I call it the transition, and I mentioned it earlier, the transition between your 9-to-5 and what you signed up for was to leave that behind and work as an entrepreneur, an Amazon seller, full-time is really tough, the transition. And we try and get people to go from their 9-to-5 to finally breaking the habit of a year or two in as smooth as possible, because that's a really tough period in people's lives, and it was a tough period for me as well. And now we're involved in multiple businesses, not just our Amazon business, and also the end game and teaching. And, you know, I'm involved with some software stuff that, you know, a lot of people will find out about soon. But I've been through the transition from being, you know, on the road 14 hours a day in my semi-trailer, my truck, and being a truck driver, to now being a full-time entrepreneur, living this, you know, in this online world. And that transition is really tough. And it was tough for me. And I just try and help as many people not leave much carnage behind in that transition phase, if you know what I mean.
Right. I think Victor sums it up right here. What a long, strange trip it's been.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. One of the things, Jamie, that that bother me a lot, especially with when you're trying to become an entrepreneur online, is the some people get into it the wrong reasons. They think it's just quick cash. Oh, yeah, I see this guy leaning up against a Lamborghini. He's flashing wads of cash, and he's selling a lifestyle. Well, the first thing I think people might want to think about is, how are you going to handle the failure? Because usually if you get into it, there's lots of people that, you know, first time they get into it and all of a sudden they feel successful. But if you're in it long enough, you've got to fail, and you've got to be prepared to fail. I've been in businesses where I failed miserably, like I put too much into the business, waited too long before I cut it loose. And then you go into a state of depression, and then you've got to try to build yourself up to get into the next one. And I think that's another thing. Entrepreneurs, if you're not willing to take risk, if you're not willing to get, take a solid kick between the legs and get up, you have to be resilient. It might not be the place for you, but you're not, this is not, I don't know about you, but it's not someplace, it's like the gold rush, you know? People go out, they try to pan for gold. Very few people got rich. But if you are persistent and if you're an action taker, and this will define you right here. First of all, if you can take risk, but if you're an action taker or if you have great intentions, people with great intentions, they'll spend $3,000 on a course and wonder why they didn't make $1 million because they had no action. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. You know, I've invested a lot in myself, and I guess you would have as well over time. There's no two ways about it. When you're getting into a new space, you have to educate yourself. It's just that they're in this industry, there's just so many shiny objects being presented every day that the thing gets tarnished. You know what I mean? This game gets tarnished, and that's sad because it is a great business and it's a great business model. And you know, if you get it right and you learn how to do it correctly, you know, the ROI, there's nothing like it in the world as far as a business model, really, when you think about it. But I guess it's the navigation through that noise and the Lamborghinis and all the things you talk about. But the thing that you see time and time again that people who actually, you know, end up, you know, with some reasonable success is that mental toughness that you talk about and their ability to get up from failure is 100% no doubt. But I've sort of got to a stage now, and I haven't been around for a long, long time in this, but I'm blessed that I'm able to have this mindset that, I've done a lot of work on myself, Norm, if you can imagine, just going through all the different transition phases and having four teenagers and now just giving my day job away. One of the things that, me and Michael, we talk about a lot is letting go from the result. And as soon as you do that, you can go into it with a level, and that's just not an off the cuff remark, because of course people have got money at stake and you can't just say, oh, whatever happens. That's not what I mean. But if you go into it with the intention of not having so much pressure on you with the result, you usually find that things will flow in a better state for you. And that's what happened with me. Of course I worry about, finances and all that sort of stuff, and I'm not being blasé about it, but what we're able to do is to let go of the result. We're action takers. We're obsessed with the process. We love the process, but we're not tied to the outcome, and it makes our world flow so much better. And I'm not getting woo-woo on you here or anything like that, but if you can imagine that, If everything just didn't matter about the outcome, and you kept on taking actions and putting another brick in the wall every day, you'd be surprised how much good things flow to you. And you know, Michael and I do that a fair bit now, where you know we might be stuck on something that we're doing in the group, or you know we're implementing something different, and it won't come to us, and we just let it go. We say, look, you know, that'll come to us, whatever feels right. We work off our gut feeling a lot, and it works. And I don't know what to tell you. The ability to not be tied to the result, because that's what sometimes pushes people in the wrong direction. And we've got private student group, an end game access private student group, and there's only 30, 40 people in that group. And we teach these guys a lot about that, because there's people holding onto their money, holding onto that that fear. And I guess it's about taking the risk that you said, but so adamant that if they put that last 10K, that last 15K, that last 20K, that 5K, whatever it may be, into this business, if I lose it, if I can't find the right products, if I fail, you know, I'm done. And that very mindset holds them back from actually being in flow. And we've instilled this in our students, and they've learned now to just let that go, and the results have been amazing. You know, don't get me wrong, we deep dive into all the data. We're all over that. You can't build a business in this game of significance without understanding that. And I'm very much, and Michael as well, we're all over the data. We live and breathe the data. We live and breathe in software, and we live and breathe in Seller Central, and we live and breathe in brands and building brands. And last year I was in China 6 times with my suppliers. And don't get me wrong, I understand all that stuff. But if you're going to hold on to that thought of, you know, what if I fail, you usually find that those blockages just don't allow you to move forward in the most constructive way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And the other thing is, if you're playing with your last dollars, that's also something completely different I always talk to people about. Look, you've got to have the right resources. If you're playing with your last money, and if that, it's a little bit, I hear what you're saying, but don't go gambling. I had a person that sold their house, sold their pickup. They had cancer. They wanted to leave something for their wife had cancer. They wanted to build up something, and they asked me to help them out. And I just said, I can't. I really can't do that. Mm. And I explained to the reasons why. I mean, I'm not going to work. I mean, it's too much emotional strain on me if something doesn't work out. Nothing's a guarantee. Mm. But the other thing that I think people have to worry about is, and not worry about, but understand, you can't fall in love with a product. So, you know, if you've got a product that started to work out, and then maybe the trend is, you know, turning, and all of a sudden it's a downturn, unless you can improve your product or improve something about it, it could be costs, it could be your profit margins, you can go back to your supplier, change something on the product, maybe you have to cut bait. And I find a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've gone through this, is you wait too long. And what happens is that concrete block starts out as a piece of sand. All of a sudden, oh, I'll invest this. And then you go and you max out your credit cards. And then at the end of the day, you could have had very low damages. And now you're at the bottom of the lake because you just didn't cut bait.
Mm.
So any thoughts on that?
Look, we've got huge thoughts on this. Unfortunately, some of the methods that are taught are how to make a box real pretty. You know what I mean? And that doesn't cut it in this game. Designing awesome logos and all that stuff. When it comes to brand building, you know, especially Michael, and I would like to say that we're pretty creative, but, we're at the top of the game. And Michael is extraordinary when it comes to creativeness and brand building and unique selling proposition with products. But unfortunately, people, a lot of the people that we deal with were taught to make a box pretty, and you can put something in there, drive the price up high because you've got a nice, beautiful package. And the next thing you know, voila, I've got a business turning over, 50K a month on my first product. And it just doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, some people have had to learn the hard way. And I don't think the whole picture's taught, around the data. I mean, it is now. And I guess you guys see that more often. And that's why, hence the Endgame Network started, because I was watching a lot of the stuff that, you guys were doing and the other influencers that we've had on the show, because we've had everyone on the show from, you guys and Danny and Brandon and Tim and all the lovely ladies around the world as well that are successful, all the big sellers we've had on our show. We've had all the PPC agents, agencies, we've had all the service providers, the influencers that have been on the world, from Helium 10 to everybody on the show. You name them, they've been on our show. And people have learned more in the last 6 months through our network and our podcasts and our shows and our Facebook group, because I guess they were just taught, paint the box pretty, get the right colors, and you just launch it and you put some nice photography up and you win. And no one was getting taught the data. Unfortunately, that's you know, that's sad, and people have had some really bad experiences and have left the game, and that's disappointing to me. And that, I guess that's our mission, the Endgame Network. We want to try and, you know, the saying, you know, the tide lifts all boats, and we want to lift all boats together. And that's why our community is so engaged, because so many people have committed to this journey and are now starting to get the full picture, understanding, you know, how important data, keyword research, building a legit brand, unique selling proposition, sourcing, COGS, micro-optimization with your shipping. Every aspect of the business we cover, we talk, we get people on the show, press releases, you know, we get the best, you know, like
thanks
yourself.
Thanks for that,
and
you by
can't...
the way.
Well, you know, people don't know about this stuff, and I've lived and breathed it. I guess I was obsessed with it's just in my nature, and just that defense mechanism as a father and working full-time as a truck driver, and now pouring time and money into it in a new business, I wanted to succeed. And so I spent, you can imagine, hours and hours on the road, and I'd have podcasts going, and I'd have all the influencers and connecting with people as well. Like half the people that have been on our show, I've been connecting with for years. And it's just funny how it's gone full circle. Now we've got our own show and people are coming on our show. It's incredible. And now I'm on your show. It's just, I've been following you for ages, Norm, and it's amazing. But we're bringing this to the community, and we're tackling this from a holistic point of view to minimize that guesswork when it comes to selling products. And look, there's a risk in every product that you launch. Of course there is. There's no two ways about it. But we're all about the minimization of that and making sure that people have got the full understanding and the full picture. And we're starting to see it turn around, and we're really proud of that. And, you know, we get messages every day. I can't believe how much I've learned, you know, since you guys have started the show, and I've never, you know, I've learned more in the last 6 months than I have in the last 3 years. And that's just by getting people aware. And that's our philosophy for the group. We're really passionate about helping people, Norm. As you know, we give so much of our time. We try and purple cow events in our Facebook group. We do five in fives where we have a pop-up mastermind, and what we do is we put a post out there and we say the next five people in 5 minutes in the group jump on a Zoom call. We chuck a Zoom link in there, and the next five people, they could be anywhere in Australia, anywhere in the world, and we're having a mastermind session with them. They don't need to reveal products or brands. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. And we just sit there as a group of five, and Michael and myself, and we try to do this as often as we can, and we help people in the community. And we've done tons of these things. We do lives, you know, through the week. We've got this thing called the Endgame Live Pit Stop, where, you know, people come in and we're just on live on Zoom in the group, and people are asking questions to us, and we try and help as much as we can. We get freight forwarders on. We get, you know, every service provider under the sun who's legit. And this is another thing. Like there's some really, really good people in this industry, like, you know, some amazing people with good intention, like you said, always with good intention. And there's some people that aren't. And we try and, you know, alleviate that for people. We've built up some trust with our people in our group, and the people that we get on, you know, we've watched them for a while, and we believe that they'll add value to the group. Every decision that me and Michael make for the Endgame Network is with our community in mind and their best interest. What can they learn? What value will they get from a session? What takeaways can they implement straight away into their business? Because there's so much stuff that happens where you just, you know, it's another hour session of watching something and you just can't implement anything. So everyone we bring, everyone we talk to, has got that intention behind it to help the community. We watch and survey the group. We see what pain points there are. As soon as Amazon, you know, let out that they were going to be having their inventory index, you know, restrictions, we had freight forwarders on. We had 3PLs on. We monitor the group, and we come from it with an absolute giving mentality, and that's been the success of the group.
So, Jamie, everything that you're talking about Now, at the very beginning, if anybody missed this, I was talking about how fantastic the group is. And the, one of the reasons I wanted Jamie to talk about the group is to show how he built this engagement. So this everything that he's talking about right now for e-commerce sellers, if you're an entrepreneur, the only thing that tells me is you have to have exceptional customer service. You have to go out there, find out what people want, and deliver it. And that's what he does on his podcast in the group. Now, the other thing that I get out of what you were just saying is entrepreneurs, they'll try to do everything themselves. And some think that they can do everything. Some people, you know, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. But one of the things, if you're a one or two person operation getting started, you've got to find a mentor. I've talked to so many millionaires and billionaires and people that are just, you know, doing some great stuff out there. And they all talk about not only one mentor, but working with other mentors. And, you know, it's where they got them in life to you know, to understand and to be able to be in either a group or to be able to talk to somebody that has the answer. They've been through it. Last point that I have on this too is with entrepreneurs. So you've got the risk evaluation. You've got to know when you can give some of your time up too, because so many people work around the clock. They burn themselves out. There's a great book called Crossing the Chasm and also the E-Myth. And it's when you get to that point where now you're experiencing, you know, hyper growth, or you're experiencing more sales than you've ever had. How do you handle it? And this is the next step, is becoming that entrepreneurial mindset. You've got to become automated and scalable. And if you don't, you'll probably either die a very, well, the business will die, either a very non-scalable business. You know, people aren't going to go out and buy a business as just one person. And if you think that, and like I've learned this the hard way, if you think that you can sell a business and you're the face of the business, forget it. I mean, if you're the only person involved, you know, the multiples that you'll get, the valuation that you'll get is squat.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, 100%, Norm. We're lucky enough to be involved with a few businesses that, you know, I'm not the face of, and Michael's not the face of. Michael's a very successful tech entrepreneur as well. And we're fortunate enough, and, you know, whatever you want to call it, the way the universe has worked or whatever you want to call it, that we've been able to come together and be able to do this from an absolute giving perspective for the group, and be able to be looked after from our other businesses to allow us to do that, which we're very privileged to do at the moment, which is great. It allows us to do this full time. We do have a small, like I said to you, private coaching program that we do a once a year intake for, and we've got a beautiful bunch of students that we look after, you know, pretty much 24/7. Our program is unlike anything in the world, how we look after them. And this is not a plug for that, because it's a once a year intake, and it's not up for another 6 months, and that's just how we operate. And it allows us to do the end game full time, and our other businesses take care of themselves. And we've got Amazon businesses as well. We turned over 7 figures last year, which was pretty cool. And, Michael's very much on the way to doing that very quickly with the way he operates. And yeah, so we're fortunate enough to be in this space where I understand the entrepreneurial burnout. Believe me, it's 2 a.m. at the moment where I am in Australia, and I'm up talking to Norm Farah.
And thank you.
the shop's open 24/7. That's how it is in the entrepreneurial world. The shop is open 24/7. Some people, it doesn't have to be that way. But for me, I've always been a very driven person. You got to do what you got to do when you got to do it. And when it's your turn to go, you've got to go. So that's just how it is. So we're fortunate at the moment. We're enjoying, we love the process, Norm. We it's not about the outcomes, like I said to you before. It's about connecting with people like you. I can call you my friend. I can ask you questions. I don't do that, but you know I can ask you something if I need to. That's something that I don't take lightly. The relationships that we've built with people are, in this space is what it's all about for me now. It's about the process, loving the process, because in the beginning, as I talked about that transition phase as an entrepreneur, it's very stressful. And I saw one of the questions that you threw up into the group about, you know, dealing with entrepreneurial stress. There's a lot of stress. I don't have stress at the moment in a sense of course, there's always stress, but I'm in a really good place at the moment with good things that come to us. We work extremely, extremely hard, but I love the process and I love working and getting to know people around the globe and bringing them to our community here in Australia and helping them reach the goals that they want to. I'm genuinely that type, that person. And Michael is so the same. And we're lucky. We're lucky, Norm.
Yeah. I like to address that stress issue as well.
Yeah, for sure.
In my earlier days, no beard, I used to get stressed out quite a bit. And you know, literally sleepless nights, bleeding ulcers, worried about everything, and seriously, like complete insomnia. And I look back at the stress that I had and I look at it now and it would just be, I flick it off my shoulder because most of it never turned out to be as bad as I thought. And I hear other people say that. And the seriousness of the stress that I panicked about, let's say, it might have been a loss, a $10,000 loss or whatever. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to handle cash flow? Well, as you grow and as you learn more and more, or as you build a network or become part of a mastermind, you can ask questions and you start to learn. And other things that you can do, like really simple things. You want to stop stress? Very simple. During your day, use an app like freedom.io, or if you want to focus, use brain.fm. and turn off all the outside noises. So we're constantly getting bombarded with Facebook Messenger, this messenger, that messenger, and it interrupts you. And it interrupts the day where it takes, I've read that it takes anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes to get back into a mindset if you're working on a priority. So that's the first thing. Like if you have structure and you can turn off all the outside noises, there's not going to be an emergency that's going to come up in an hour if you turn off everything. So the other thing that I like to do is it's just you work on something. I plan my day the night in advance. Things always come up. But when I get something done, I just kind of take a walk, like a quick, you know, 10 minute or something. I'll go grab a coffee. I'll do something, get my mind off of it. Some people talk about meditating. I'm not going to get into that, but for me, it's just the break between the first and the next. The other thing is if you've got things that you've got, this happens all the time. So you'll get a customer that really ticks you off, or you have a supplier, or you have something that you have to handle negative. Okay, so now you've got negative stress coming out during your workday. Wait, just wait 24 hours. Don't just put it into your, like, you know, use Boomerang if you got GM or Gmail. Don't even look at it for 24 hours. Get it out of sight, out of mind. So that's some of the things that, you know, we look at when we have to address negative energy, basically. Oh, and by the way, I just noticed a bunch of people here. Just let me give a shout out here to, there's Rosie and Leonard. Thanks for joining. Garrett. Oh, I see that's on LinkedIn. Thanks, Garrett. We'll go down and I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's Cy, right? Cy. Okay.
We do have
Yep.
We have a fan question.
Okay, sure.
It's from Leonard. How have you been able to network with all these really successful people? Any tips for people at a more beginner level?
Go for it, Jamie.
Yeah, look, that's a great question. And how are you going, Leonard? I know Leonard, he's from our group and he's a good kid. He's from Belgium. I think he's an Australian, he's a young fella from Australia living in Belgium at the moment. Shout out to you, Leonard. It's a great question, Leonard, because, you know, there's, I guess these people who are busy, you know, it's a great question because I've done it like so many times in the last 6 months. You've seen how many people we've had on our show, and I haven't known all of them personally to do this, but I guess, you know, it's how you ask, it's what you ask, and sometimes it might not even be something that you're asking for from the beginning. The first time Michael reached out to me, the co-founder of Endgame Network, and I remember this very clearly. He actually, we knew of each other, but we hadn't spoken to each other, but he actually just reached out with a resource that he thought that I may need from what he'd heard that I was struggling with. And he just said, "Hey, mate, how you going? I've seen that you're dealing with this and this. I just know of this awesome resource. If there's anything I can do to help you, other than that, just reach out to me. But here's this great resource, and I hope to, you know, hope that you can, you know, work through the problem that you're dealing with." So he actually reached out not to ask something, but rather to give something. And that was, you know, that caught my eye, and I was like, wow, what a guy, you know. And for me, it's a little bit different now, and I must admit it's a little bit different because we've got an audience and, you know, we reach out to people and we get them on the show, and there's, you know, when you're building a business and you've got a business, you know, to get in front of an audience is really important. And, you know, it's easier for us to sort of to get the people in. But very soon people realize what we're about, the value we want to bring our audience. And like yourself, Norm, when I reached out to you for the first time, I was going to ask someone that I knew for an intro. I thought, nah, look, I'll just reach out to Norm. And I explained everything about our group and how I thought that, you know, PR reach would benefit, and also, you know, just how PR reach would benefit our audience more importantly. And it was just that synergy that, you know, clicked for you, and it was awesome for us, and it's been awesome for our audience. So, Leonard, it's never easy to reach out to someone of influence, first of all, to even get them to read your message. But, you know, persistence is key. I've spent the last month reaching out to quite a very significant person of stature in Australia, and I don't put anyone up on a pedestal. That's something that I don't have in my life. I don't care if you're in product research and you're just starting on your Amazon business or you're turning over $3 million a month. Everyone's just, on a human level to me, the equal, and that's the people who I attract into our world. We've got sellers in our group that are doing $30 million a year who reach out on a granular level to help beginners with questions. It's unbelievable. So that energy rubs off onto the people in our crowd. We don't stand for anyone being on a pedestal or, you know, any of that stuff. But I've been reaching out to this person for the last 4 weeks, Leonard, in Australia here, quite significant profile, to try and get them on our show. And I finally got a response. I wasn't being pushy. I was just plugging what we're about and plugging who we are and our values. And they eventually got back to me and said, "I dig it. I love what you're doing. I'm in." So we've got them lined up to come on in a month or so. And that was just persistence and being true to your values and what you believe in. And I must admit it was a bit easier because we do have an audience, Leonard, and it's difficult if you don't. But it's a hard question. It's never really an easy answer. I don't know what you feel about that, Norm, as well.
Yeah, I've always found, you know, people might know me a bit in the Amazon circles, but like in other businesses, just I built a network by, first of all, just reaching out, saying, hey, I mean, I think this actually came from Donald. It might have been Howard Stern or Donald Trump, one of the books I was reading way back, and it was just reaching out and asking to go out to lunch. Mm. And I started doing that in Toronto and with business people. I got involved with organizations like Young Entrepreneurs Organization, which is EO now, which I highly recommend. If you've got a business in a city that has EO or an organization like that, these are other business people that, you know, can help you out. It's not just, you know, finding people in the Amazon world that can help you out. It's actually, you know, get to understand your numbers, there's so many other areas of business that you need to know to really become a business person. You don't have to be an expert in it, but it's going out and finding them. But reaching out, a lot of people, if you reach out to them, take it as a compliment. So, hey, look, you know, they're not being approached all the time. Or I know with a lot of business people, they say, hey, look, you know, give me a half hour, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I know you got a busy day. In this industry, I think it's very easy to like, if anybody, oh gosh, now I'll get bombarded, but I'll tell you that if you reach out to me, it might not be right away, but if you reach out to me, I answer. I don't have other people answer it. I answer every one of my emails. Sometimes it takes a bit longer, but I'll always answer, you know. What it does for me is, just like you, if I can help somebody that's starting out, I did this yesterday. I looked at a listing for somebody and just gave them a couple of pointers on it, and that was it. I'm not charging. And my last thought on this is that the last thing you want to do, you might have a question, and that's perfectly fine. But once that's answered, don't ask another 10. Because what ends up when you're going out and you're building a relationship, it's two-way communication. And to help really solidify a network, it's not take, it's two ways. And I've always found that, you know, if anybody that's part of our group, or, you know, people that we work with or on the podcast, it's the odd time I'll ask for a favor. Same thing back and forth. It's reciprocal. So that's it. Just don't abuse a relationship. And that's probably the best way. You're buying me a coffee, I'm going to go and have that coffee. I enjoy coffee. Here we go. It's my second one.
Yeah. Can I add something here?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, but dealing with LinkedIn messages, a lot of people reach out on LinkedIn. And I know Norm has a pet peeve about this, but the automated message that says,
oh God,
to join your network. I don't know if you get that too, Jamie, but if you guys have any thoughts about how to reach out to someone, say on LinkedIn, when you have no connection with them.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, that automated stuff, it's sort of, I just let that brush by. But you can always, you know, if someone reaches out with authenticity, like you're talking about, Norm, it'll always catch your eye. I'm a very giving person as well, like, you know, and, you know, I've for the last 2 years, all I've been doing is helping people, taking a look at listings and giving tips to people, you know, not charging at all, just being of service to people. I've jumped into people's masterminds and done guest appearances and all sorts of things just to try and help a group, you know what I mean, or try and help a group of people. The end game was never in our radar, I guess. One thing led to another. I don't know how. I don't even know. But it was meant to be.
Yeah. So let's talk about maybe 3 to 5 quick tips on an entrepreneurial mindset, and then let's switch it around, what not to do. And then we'll get into some questions, and that'll be it.
Okay. It's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, all right? Now, I deal with a lot of people, and we see a lot of people, and you would be the same, and you can see the ones who have got that hunger, that obsessive nature to reach their goals. There's an element of, especially if you're in the transition phase where you're still working your 9-to-5 and you've got a family, you've got to go. Like, the hours that you don't want to be working, you need to be working, because every other hour in the day is preoccupied with your kids, your relationship, your life, and your job. So if you want to build something of significance to work yourself into a brand for 3-4 years and get a decent paycheck with an exit, and, you know, let's be honest, that's what we're all after. We're after, you know, I'm sure $100,000 would be nice in anyone's bank account, but we want that life-changing check. You know what I mean? Whether it's $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is for you, whatever your goals are, everyone's different, you know. And it may not be a monetary thing as well. Everyone's got different goals. But if you want to achieve something of some significance like that while you're still working, and I suggest people do still work while they're doing Amazon, you know, I don't suggest for 1 minute that people should just go and quit their jobs and do that, because it's a cash flow intensive business, as we all know. You've got to put in some work where if you're working 9 to 5 and you've got a family or not, or a partner or whatever, and you've got a busy life, you've got sporting commitments, you've got other interests, you're playing a band or you, whatever, you do art or yoga, there has got to be significant time shift and allocation to build something significant of a business like this, because it doesn't come for free. You've got to do the hours. That's the entrepreneurial life. So having a pipe dream and having a goal on a whiteboard next to you in the office is one thing, but doing the work is another. You need to be able to self-motivate. I like to think that I can inspire and motivate people in our group as much as we can, and we can only do that so much, but there's a point in time in the entrepreneurial journey where you've got to be your own inspiration. The goals have got to mean enough to you. The reasons why you're doing it have got to mean enough for you to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and talk to Norm, or to talk to a Chinese supplier, or to jump on a plane and go to China when your kids have got sport and you just don't want to miss the kids' sport. You know, you've got your kid in a final of the football or something, but you've got 3 containers in China and shit's hit the fan and you got to jump on a plane. Like, that's hard. That's difficult. And I'm not saying that needs to happen, but I've been there, and I know a lot of people have been there. So I guess it came back to my point earlier. When it's your turn to go, you've got to go. There cannot be an exception. Yeah, that's my point to the entrepreneurial mindset. That obsessive nature of the goals, they've got to mean enough to you to go when the times are tough.
One of the things that we didn't touch on, I don't know what you think about this, but I think it's very important, not only to set goals, but to create a business plan. Mm. Like, go through the process. And yeah, most entrepreneurs, including myself, they just want to get to it, right?
Yeah.
I want to get the site up. I want to start making some money. But you really do need a path. And a lot of the times you skip that path and you fly by the seat of your pants. It's always a great, like, Live Plan is like $19 a month. And I'm sure there's others out there that you could get for free. But anyways, it's just so important to make sure that you map out your success. And just a quick little tip, it's about entrepreneur, but how are you going to exit? You know, think about that. And at least for me, when I'm planning on something right now, you can ask any of the companies that I'm working with, that each one, we know exactly when we're going to exit, when we want to exit. It might change, but we start there and we work backwards. That's the way that, you know, we work, just trying to get some focus. It's just like script writing, right? So Jeff Sass, he's an incredible brand guy. He says, you just got to build your brand story, but you work at the end chapter and you work backwards. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, we always start with the end in mind. You know, if you want to exit for $1 million, you know, that's 300K profit after everything, you know, getting a 2, 2.5, 3 multiple with inventory. What does that look like? Is that 6 products? Is that 10 products? Is that 20 products? You know, what price point? How many today? Got to get granular. How many products at what price point? What profit? What return do I need to do over the course of the next 2-3 years to get to that figure? You have to work with the end in mind all the time. Right. We just did that recently with our student group, where, you know, we brought everyone's focus back, because you've got that, what happens with Amazon sellers, I don't know if you've experienced this as well, it's that scattergun approach. You know, I've got this idea, I've got that idea, I've got this brand idea, and oh, I'm going to save that product and I'm going to do that next. But when you think about it, if you plan from with the end in mind, very clearly and very quickly, it becomes not the best resource and of your energy, like, or the use of your energy to have that scattergun approach. And I understand why people do it, because they're enthusiastic. A lot of people are creative. You know, those creative people, they've got this product idea, and then they've seen this niche and then that idea. And I get that. But really, the mission is the exit, and not for everybody, but for most. And the mission is the exit. Now, that's not great use of your time and cash deployment if you're going to start doing that, unless you've got great experience and a lot of cash to burn. If you want to do two brands at a time or whatever, and you know, you've got resources and possibly employees or VAs or whatever it may be, that's different. But most people in the beginning, it's really important to start with a solid business plan in this game. What's your exit number? And really, before even that, I like to talk about, you know, what is your actual ideal monetary number, you know, because $1 million might be way too much for someone, or you might need $3 million. Like, what's your life look like? What's the goal? And once you break that down to at the product level, you very soon realize, you go, well, hang on a minute. If I'm going to get to that, I'm going to need 14 products at this price point. Okay. Well, it's probably not a great idea that I do this brand and this brand and this brand and just refocus. So I love what you said, and I'm a big advocate of starting with the end in mind.
Okay, Kels, do we have any questions?
Yes, we have one from Nathan. What do you do with the product once you give up on a product? Charity? So I guess, yeah.
Is that for me?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Is that for you, Norm? You go for it. You've okay. had more experience. I watched your show with Danny when you talked about failure products. That was cool.
So you know, I've failed quite a bit.
Don't worry, we all have. I have as well.
So yeah, with this liquidation, so what you can do, if you've got a product, you can either try to discount it out. Okay. If you've got a list of clients, you could try to mail it out to your clients at a reduced price. You can also go to discount clubs. You can go to liquidators. I know AMZ Jet, it's a rebate app. I know that they have a liquidation program there where you can list it. So there's lots of different things that you can do. It does, and remember, you can also list it on eBay or these other outlets that are very inexpensive. You'll get you could drive social traffic over to it. It's not a big deal. The other thing you can do, just thinking of this, if it's a pretty cool product and maybe, you know, it's just sort of exhausted, you can always go and try like a free product with shipping. Okay, so you can just blow it out. And you just charge the shipping charge, which is minor, and you charge a little bit extra. So, you know, you've got a product that's $10.99, you might charge $19.99 or something like that, and just say it's free shipping. And there's lots of different programs like that out there as well. But there's lots of opportunity. If you need any further suggestions, just let me know. But one of those should work.
That's cool.
Okay. Awesome.
I actually just thought of those Australian data software companies to look at your data. So there's eGrow and also AlgoPix. eGrow, there's some data on the Australian marketplace, and AlgoPix as well.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's probably it, unless you have anything else.
No, that's awesome. Thanks for having me on, Norm. It's been great.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. We could have talked another hour.
Oh, for sure. The hour flew. It's really cool.
All right. So, Jamie, how do people get a hold of you?
If you want to check out what we're doing, just go to Endgame Network on Facebook and ask to join the group and check it out. we let most people in. We try and keep the people that everyone tries to keep out of Facebook groups, and that's one good thing that that we do. We don't let as many people in as we let people out. We try and keep it authentic, and you can always tell with the way people approach. We're all the people in Australia watching as well. We're doing Michael and I are doing a national tour next March, where we're doing some one-day workshop stuffs in all the major capital cities, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth. So we're just coming to our community and doing some workshops, you know, just deep diving for the day, and that's going to be really cool after COVID to touch base with everyone next March as well. So that's coming up soon in our group, as everyone knows. So we're looking forward to doing that and seeing everybody.
Okay, I think Leonard's got one more question for you.
Okay, what things do you believe have been key to your success? Leonard, I think the key to our success is digging. You know, when you're in a tunnel and you're in a trenches, you know, to keep digging. I know that sounds a bit blasé and a bit broad, but really it's your ability to fight and in tough situations and to get yourself out of them, to keep mentally tough. And I guess I'm always level. I did have those times that Norm was talking about where you can fluctuate your stress levels, but now, you know, something really bad happens, I try and stay level. Something really good happens, you know, you celebrate it, but you stay level because you just don't know what's happening around the corner and we just don't know what's going on. So I try and stay emotionally level. If something really bad blows out or something really bad happens, I don't get affected as much. I try and stay level-headed about everything, emotionally stable, rather than pinging up and down like a new entrepreneur, or oh my god, this happened, oh no, and like that reflex action to something that's just, it may be really, really bad in your world, but look, you know, there's always someone in a worse position and a worse story. So stay emotionally in control of your emotions through the journey will help you.
Yeah, and one of the common denominators that I've seen time and time again from any entrepreneur, businessman or business person is resilience. That's yep. The one common denominator. So just be resilient. It's gonna happen. You're gonna have your ups and downs, but as long as you can just stay the long haul, then you'll be good.
Yep.
Okay, so
thanks, Noel.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And anyways, Jamie, we really appreciated you coming on, and this is a topic that I really wanted to get onto this podcast, and I think you nailed it. So thank you. And for everyone else, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can, or shorter clips, you can go to Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, on Facebook. If you want to see some visual podcasts as well as clips, repurposed clips, you can go to YouTube. It's just Norm Farrar. So once again, thank you, Jamie, for joining us today. We're going to be having a special event on Friday. And again, if you can put the word out, anybody who's talking, or anybody who's listening, it's going to be about suicide prevention during COVID. We're going to tackle some pretty serious issues. So I don't usually ask this, but I would love it if you guys could just pass the word on. Okay, so Kelsey, get back here.
I'm here. Okay.
All right. Tell everybody what they should do.
Quickly, I think Julie wants to know the names of those tools. So maybe we can just add those. I think you mentioned freedom.io, but we'll put them in the comments afterwards.
Sure.
And deal with that.
Yeah, and Jamie mentioned a couple as well.
Yes.
All right. So tomorrow we have Francois Jeffrey, and he's going to be talking about Chinese sourcing culture and just working with the Chinese New Year that's coming up. And Friday, I just mentioned what we're doing. So if you enjoy the podcast, please take a second and subscribe. I think that's what Kelsey's going to tell me to do. So I just did it before he told me.
That's right. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. And thank you, Rosie, and everyone that's been watching and putting all the great comments. We appreciate it. We love to hear your insight. So if you haven't already, please like and share this. Gets more eyes on the video. and gets our reach out there. It does a lot. And yes, Norm touched on it. We have our episode that was scheduled for Friday on Thursday. So Francoise Jaffray's is on Thursday. So we have a bonus episode, and then we have our mental health talk on Friday. Let me see if there's anything else. Visit cellarpoll.com. I'll put the link right here, cellarpoll.com, and vote for us for best podcast. Get our name out there. It'll be appreciated.
And I think all right. Okay, everybody. So thank you very much for watching, and we will see you Thursday, Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right.
Lunch with Lou. 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 Lunch with Lou.